Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. Today is March 23rd, 2016. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 17,502, the NASDAQ at 4768, and the S&P at 2036. Tonight, we are talking about taxes. We will take your income tax questions. You can call in and ask questions if you would like. But we are also focusing in particular on New Jersey income tax and New Jersey estate tax for our new expanded audience with our broadcast power going out to New Jersey. We want to make sure we include those listeners. And we have a lot of Pennsylvania folks who work in New Jersey and vice versa. So we want to talk about those things tonight. And I have a guest who I'll introduce shortly. Remember, we do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. Judy Ann's in the studio with us this evening and she'll answer your calls, take your questions, ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. If you prefer to talk off air, she'll write your question down and bring it into the studio. If you would like to talk on air, we'll put you right through and answer your questions live. Again, that number is 610-758-8810. That's for income tax questions and also talking about New Jersey estate and income taxes tonight. And with me this evening is Frank Stettner, CPA, CFP, and financial advisor with Valley National Financial Advisors. And he's a senior vice president managing the Phillipsburg, New Jersey office. So I have someone to talk especially about New Jersey taxes this evening. Frank, you've been on the show for a while. You've been on the show before, but it's been a while, so welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, do you want to give a little intro of yourself to the listeners?
Sure. Well, my name is Frank Stettner. As she said, I'm located over in Phillipsburg, 825 Belvedere Road, conveniently located only a couple of blocks off of Route 22. We're near the Warren Hospital and also the Phillipsburg High School new setup, which is being built directly behind our office complex right now. I was just doing some math here, and I found it hard to believe this is my 26th tax season. So I guess in dog years, that's around 182. So there's some nights during tax season, I feel like I'm 182.
Yes, we do. We certainly do. And I also want to mention that Frank is a CPA and CFP like myself. And I had noticed that Phillipsburg, New Jersey was lacking in certified financial planners and what a difference that can make, especially when we're doing tax returns and helping people with their investments. That crossed, that expertise, it kind of is really valuable. So congratulations on the CPA, CFP designations.
Well,
I think that makes a big difference, especially for folks in New Jersey who have a number of complicated situations, which we're going to talk about tonight. One, the income tax, just like in Pennsylvania, it's not based off our federal numbers. We have specific numbers, so we're going to talk about some nuances there. And especially the New Jersey estate tax, because there are so many people who just don't realize the impact of it and how planning can make such a difference. So I want to give the phone number again to get us started if folks have questions, and it could be any income tax questions. Frank and I are here really to answer questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So Frank, I mentioned that we have quite often when our borders are so close, we have a lot of back and forth, people who live in Pennsylvania and work in New Jersey, folks who live in New Jersey, work in Pennsylvania. And it should seem straightforward because we neighbor New Jersey. We have something called reciprocal agreements. If you could for a minute talk about what a reciprocal agreement means, and do we see it in action, and what happens if we don't
sure.
see it working the right way?
And we do see it both ways. Reciprocal agreement simply means you're going to pay your state income tax to the state where you reside. So if you're a Pennsylvania resident and you're working someplace in New Jersey, you should be having Pennsylvania tax withheld on your W-2. Same goes for the New Jersey residents. If you're a New Jersey resident and you work in Pennsylvania, you should be having the New Jersey tax withheld on that W-2. I see a lot of errors in that area, and I just ran across one last night, believe it or not. And unfortunately, what happens is I have a Pennsylvania resident working in New Jersey withholding the New Jersey income tax. So they're looking at a sizable refund from New Jersey, but they do owe a sizable chunk back to Pennsylvania. But on top of that, they owe a penalty because they are not having that paid in through the course of the year. So unfortunately, if they're not going to attack the employer to withhold the proper income tax, they need to make estimated tax payments. So if the employer continues to withhold the incorrect income tax and they pay their estimates, it's as if they're paying twice the state tax. But of course, they'll be doing a refund at the end of the year, but they are out that money during the course of the season.
So because it's reciprocal states, because I know, like, I might have someone who works in New York, and Pennsylvania will give us a credit for taxes paid to New York on New York wages because we're not a reciprocal state. So it's because we're a reciprocal state that Pennsylvania is not going to give us a credit for those taxes that
they will
were
not.
Held for
they,
New Jersey.
They should not. They should
they
not.
Should
I,
not because
I
it's
have seen returns incorrectly prepared like that before. That is not the proper way to do that. Although you bring up a very good point. If you're a New Jersey resident and you're working in Pennsylvania, obviously you should be having the New Jersey tax withheld, as we said, but you will be paying that local tax
good point.
The jurisdiction. That, you know, could be 1%, 1.25%, 1.5%, depending where you're working. That qualifies in New Jersey as a tax paid to another jurisdiction, and you should receive that back from the state of New Jersey when you file your taxes. I see that missed quite frequently.
I was just going to say, that is a great point. I think that we should reiterate it and say it again. So if we have someone who lives in New Jersey but works in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania has more local tax jurisdictions than the whole country combined. So if someone is in New Jersey, they're not used to that. And so often our employers withhold, and we just take for granted that they're doing it right. And they are, because the employer still has to assess that local tax to where we're working, and that locality gets our local tax. But New Jersey is going to give us a credit only for that local tax paid, though.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's missed quite often because New Jersey people aren't used to those local taxes, I would expect.
Right. And it's in a funky little place on a supporting form where you have to fill those numbers out. And it could be substantial numbers. You know, we've seen it missed and had to go back and amend 3 years' worth of tax returns. But unfortunately, if you get past 3 years, that the money is lost. So that is definitely something to keep on top of.
So anyone who's listening, if you are a New Jersey resident working in Pennsylvania and you're subject to this local tax, you should see it on your pay stub or on your W-2. And if you don't see it as a credit on your New Jersey 1040, it's time to maybe look back at your returns to see if you would be entitled to a credit, a refund. And we can amend 3 years, so we still can amend 2012, but only until April 15th. If someone extended, can they have the extension date?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think New Jersey's pretty stringent on that.
I usually try to do it by April 15th. Okay, folks, we're talking taxes tonight. If you have questions, I know it's a lovely, lovely evening, but you might be someone who just has one more thing to do to figure out for your tax return. Let's get it done. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Frank Stettner, CPA, CFP. We're talking about taxes, New Jersey estate taxes, New Jersey income taxes. As we get later in the show, we'll talk more about New Jersey estate taxes. Right now, we're kind of hitting on some of these income tax rules you have to be aware of. If you have questions of any nature, income tax, it doesn't have to be New Jersey specifically. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. For the past several weeks, I've been taking tax questions, and we've actually had, you know, many, many calls, and I know it's a lovely evening, but if you do have a question, I'd call sooner than later because the phones could get tied up as we go through the show. So 610-758-8810. So, Frank, we were talking a little bit about the reciprocal agreements with the states, how if I'm a Pennsylvania resident working in New Jersey, that New Jersey employer is supposed to withhold Pennsylvania tax withholding. If they don't, then I have to file a New Jersey return showing zero income, get my refund from New Jersey. I have to file my Pennsylvania return showing zero withholding and pay up the wazoo if I haven't made estimates. And so that could put people in a penalty situation. So that's wages, and people have to watch out for that. Are there other circumstances where folks might have to be careful with these reciprocal agreements?
There are, because the wage income is the only income that is subject to the reciprocal agreement. Okay? If you have folks that are self-employed, if you have folks that own rentals, that is not subject to the reciprocal agreement. So in a nutshell, if you're a New Jersey employee, if you're a New Jersey business, you're a painter, you're a contractor, you're a plumber, it doesn't matter. And, of course, if you live right on the river, you're going to do business on both sides of the river. You are supposed to apportion your income between the two states based on where you're generating your revenue. Now, it's not a big issue for folks that are inland by 50, 60, 70 miles. They may have virtually no business in Pennsylvania. But for those folks that are actually working on both sides of the river, they are technically supposed to split their income in whatever it may be. Let's just assume it's a simple calculation and it's 50%. So then a 50% allocation of the bottom line would go to Pennsylvania. You would then pay tax to Pennsylvania. Then you would be able to get the credit for taxes paid to other jurisdictions on New Jersey, because New Jersey will tax 100% of your business.
Okay.
So you portion it to the state. And I have had a few businesses that do a lot of traveling. They may work in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. It does get a little bit hairy, but as long as you separate your gross receipts by state, then everything else can be done based on that ratio. The same is true for rentals. You know, in the last, 10 to 15 years, I've seen a lot of folks increase the number of rental units they own, you know, trying to build for the future, and they want to get into real estate. They're good with their hands. Not something I could do. You know, I need to call everybody for anything. But a lot of guys are very handy. You know, they could tear off a roof and put it back on in a day. So they're great for those. And they've accumulated, sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rentals. But if you're a New Jersey resident and you have rentals in Pennsylvania, you're going to be paying tax to Pennsylvania if there's a net profit on those rentals. And then, of course, you would be getting a credit to other jurisdictions on the New Jersey return. So
I try to tell people, too, when they do have rentals, I'm more aware of it for rentals than I was the business income. But for the rentals, You also want to make sure you're tracking it to the state of situs, because there could be losses. And eventually when you sell it, now Pennsylvania doesn't let us use passive loss carryforwards, but some states do. So if you have a house in Vermont or in New York or somewhere else, you want to file those returns even if you have losses. Some people think that it's zero, so I'm not going to report it.
Right.
But it's good to have that carryforward. Right. We have a caller on line one. We have Kathy. Kathy, can you hear us?
Yep, just barely.
Hi, how can we help you?
Well, we've been kind of playing with the question. My daughter's 23. She's living in South Korea and teaching English there. And she left the end of November. So her income, she has income from that job for the month of December.
Uh-huh.
And we understand that if we understand it correctly, I should say, she could have, as long as she has 12 consecutive months of income, and it's under, I believe it's $110,000, then she's exempt from paying taxes. However, what do we do when she's straddling a tax year? And what do we do about claiming the living or her housing expenses, which are paid for by her employer?
You know what, Kathy? This is complicated, and you at this
that's
point,
what we thought, too.
You at this point probably know more than I do. I've had this situation, I would say, probably two times, maybe in the past 20 some years. So
uh-huh.
It's not that common, and I do look it up every time. There is a period of time that she has to be away, like an extended period of time. She is going to have.
Yeah, I believe it's a year.
She's going to have to make sure she keeps records. If she comes back to visit, like for holidays or mm-hmm. over the summer, you're going to have to keep track of that. There is certain exemptions, but and I know that there's some issue with straddling too. I think you might be able to take the position that it's going to qualify, and then if I'm going off memory here, and then if she fails the test, then you have to go back and refile. I'm thinking,
that's
I'm going off memory, so I'm not sure if Frank has had this foreign reporting, but I have had it. It's just not that common, so I don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, and we were even thinking, I guess we just have to make a lot of phone calls to different tax preparers and say, do you have any experience with this, or is it something that you have time to research? I know it's getting close to that April 15th date. But,
yeah, I just looked up something quickly. Waiver of minimum time requirements. The minimum time requirements for the bona fide residence and physical presence test can be waived if a taxpayer must leave a foreign country. Oh, no, that's not that. Let me just see if I can see something quickly.
Yeah, we were seeing 12 consecutive months, and it sounded as if it didn't have to be with all within 1 year, but we're trying to figure out what to do, at least with her December income, which would have been, just 1 month into her 1 year, but it happened to be in 2015.
Yeah, I just can't look that up quick enough, and I just don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So you can always shoot me an email through yourfinancialchoices.com, and I can see what I can help you with. But, we also have to be careful because this, as an education show, we can't actually specific to your circumstances. It's kind of impossible. This is why, they have
Absolutely,
CPAs.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I understand that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But thank you for the call.
Okay.
Have a good night. Thanks. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Yeah, it gets a little tricky when you have those unusual circumstances. In fact, Frank and I came over together in the car tonight, and I was telling him about another circumstance I had that doesn't happen very often with a rental property. And it's good to have someone to bounce this off. But a lot of times, folks, when you have more complicated situations, it is sometimes better just to hire someone to take care of it for you. Because if you're going to take a position and you're relying on a position, sometimes it's better to have an expert that you're paying to do that.
I agree with you 100%, Lori, on that. And I do this all the time. I'm in the office, and we're with a number of other enrolled agents and CPAs, and I find myself, consistently, hey, this is worth getting a second thought just to make sure that I haven't missed a door, or not walked down this path the right way for something complicated. And, you know, we're lucky enough to have, five, six CPAs under one roof with a few enrolled agents to bounce some of these more complicated issues off of. And, hey, sometimes it has worked and, like, wow, you know what, I didn't think that through all the way. And I think it's definitely worthwhile to bounce it off someone else when you think something's complicated.
Yeah. So, folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and we'll do the best we can to answer them. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening Frank Stettner, CPA, CFP, and we are talking about income taxes and taxes.
I just wanted to compliment you. I love your entry music.
Oh, thank you.
I know you're a
Vivaldi.
You're a big classical music fan, and as you know, I both of my daughters are both dancers, ballerinas, so I'm very used to hearing a lot of classical type music, and every time I hear this type of music, I can picture both of them out there on the floor.
That's a nice picture.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's relaxing, isn't it?
It's very relaxing.
It brings us joy. So thanks, Frank. That's nice. We had a couple questions come in off air, and I hope that I can do these justice. It looks like Yusef asked a question about insurance, and I'm thinking it's about the premium, the health care, because he said, I had insurance for 8 months, so I had a penalty of only $27 per month, because if you don't have insurance, then they're going to penalize you. So he said, I only had a penalty of $27 per month when I calculated online, but when I went somewhere else, it was a flat fee, $325, but I have friends who had no insurance all year with the same fees. How is the penalty for no health insurance figured?
Well, first of all, it is based on your income. Okay, so there is an income limitation that will throw you into certain brackets as to whether or not you qualify for the actual premium credit and or qualify for not having a penalty versus having a penalty. Without knowing the details, I don't know his income. I don't know if we're talking about someone single or married. So it is going to be different on every case. And
it's also capped, I think, at some point, too, isn't it?
It is.
So
it
maybe
is.
That's the 325 amount, the
but
cap.
It is just simple mathematics. I mean, there's nothing, there's no brain surgery involved with that one. It's just simply based on income and coverage and what you paid or what you didn't pay.
Okay, so Yusef, I hope that answered it. Could vary for different folks, but I do think that there was a cap on it, and I'm sorry I don't know more about that. I haven't had that occur yet. And then we also had a phone call from Lewis. He said, I am Social Security age, maybe, and make too much money to contribute. Oh, 55. I apologize. I thought it said SS. I'm 55 and make too much money to contribute to a Roth IRA. So I pay from a savings account to a traditional IRA and immediately convert it to a Roth. We call that a backdoor Roth. Do I get a deduction for the amount converted since it was already taxed? He says, I already have it in a separate traditional IRA. Amount $6,500 that he moves. So you're 55, you make too much to contribute to a Roth IRA, and you pay it from a savings account to a traditional IRA and immediately convert it. But Lewis, my question is, if you're putting it into a traditional IRA, then my guess is you're not getting a deduction for it. It's after-tax money. These backdoor Roth IRAs, typically, we only do when you don't qualify for the Roth and you also make too much money to qualify for the traditional IRA. So you're putting the money into a traditional IRA. We call it a non-deductible IRA. And then when you go to convert it immediately, then it has basis of $6,500. And then there's like no gain or loss on it. And there's, but there's, because there's been no deduction for it. Now that only works, folks, if you don't have any other IRA monies. Because if you have other IRA monies, the IRS looks at our IRA as all as one. And then you'd have to allocate it. So this works, the backdoor Roth IRA works if you don't have any other IRA money. But this is typically done when it's a non-deductible IRA.
Correct. And I'm not sure exactly what the question was, but I don't think you get any deductions for converting to a Roth IRA. So there's no deduction available for converting to a Roth. I think I understand the question. And obviously, if you can't put it into a Roth, those limits are a lot higher than an IRA, traditional or so forth. So it must be going into a non-deductible. And as Lori said, you will have your basis there, hence the conversion. You'll be carrying that basis through, but you will not get a tax deduction on the front page of your tax return for that scenario.
Okay. Love these questions, folks. If you have any, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So we're talking a little bit, too, as we're waiting for calls, about New Jersey income tax in particular. Some things that New Jersey residents have to pay attention to if you're working in Pennsylvania is that you could get a credit for local taxes paid. But New Jersey folks also have some other deductions that they may be entitled to, Frank, mm-hmm. that might not be like on their radar. Let me give you an example. If you, for federal purposes, go to itemized deductions like real estate taxes, mortgage interest, a lot of times we know that our income might be too high to deduct medical expenses. So we don't bother telling our accountants about our medical expenses because we know we can't deduct them. That's what happens in Pennsylvania. What happens in New Jersey? And we might have people who cross the border to live in New Jersey now who were Pennsylvania residents for years because we have a lot of, you know, cross-pollination here.
Absolutely.
What are some things that in New Jersey that we have to pay attention to?
Yeah, with regards to the medical expenses, it does become a very big deal. If you're not itemizing, a lot of times, like you said, you're not tracking it. But New Jersey allows a medical expense deduction for anything over 2% of your New Jersey gross income. So in other words, if your total gross income is $100,000, your floor for that would only be $2,000. So anything above and beyond that would qualify as a deduction for medical purposes for New Jersey purposes. So if you're paying for your own insurance, most likely if it's an after-tax payment, meaning it's not coming out before tax, that would automatically qualify you for those deductions. To those insurance payments, you will be able to add all of your copays, all of your medical doctor copays, your eyeglasses, your pharmacy bills, your chiropractor bills, you name it. And it could turn out to be a sizable deduction. So I say keep on a lookout. And even if you're not itemizing at the federal, the medical deductions is something you should address, you know, each and every single year if you're a New Jersey resident.
Okay, thanks, Frank. That was great. There's also some other exclusions I want to talk about, but I do want to mention to Kathy, if she's still listening, there is a publication on the foreign earned income, publication 54, that talks about how to choose the 12-month period, and that might have more information for you. So publication 54, if you haven't already looked at that, that might help. Frank, other exclusions that New Jersey gives folks that we don't have on Pennsylvania?
The big one is the property tax deduction, which, of course, is 100% of your property taxes up to $10,000 on your principal residence. So if you're living in a high-priced area and you're paying $18,000 for property taxes, you will not get them, but you will get up to the max. That also includes the property tax deduction, also includes rent that you've paid, and you can get a rent deduction or a credit for the rent that you pay. And I find that we're always chasing folks who are, you know, maybe sold their home and are now moving in into a complex, you know, an apartment complex. They're paying rent. Obviously, a lot of younger folks who are, you know, just getting out of college, moving out on their own, they're renting. So there is a rent deduction. It's part of the property tax form in New Jersey. It's not a big one, but you know, my job is to let you know what every deduction available is. So keep that on the top of your head for filing those New Jersey returns.
So much to learn with Frank in the studio. Thanks, Frank. Folks, if you have questions, we're at our halfway point. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We're taking questions live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to Your Financial Choices here on WDIY. The time is 6:30, 65 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 41. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 69. Thursday night, showers likely, cloudy with a low around 52. And the outlook for Friday, showers in the morning, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 62.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Frank Stettner, CPA, CFP, and financial advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors with a office in Phillipsburg. Thanks for joining us, Frank. Learning a lot tonight about New Jersey income tax. And for folks who are listening who maybe have relatives across the border, we want to make sure that you're sharing those kinds of stories as well to get all the deductions that we can get. So we talked a bit about the property tax deduction, that there's a rent deduction, medical expenses. You had said that could be insurance premiums and that type of thing.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to point out for those folks who are actually working and paying through their insurance or their employer, New Jersey does not recognize some Section 125 plans. An easy way to figure this out is to take a look at your box one for your taxable federal wages, then look at your taxable state wages. You may notice that they are substantially higher by the amount that you're paying for your insurance. That means you're paying tax on those dollars. Hence, now that is a deductible amount for medical purposes in New Jersey. So try not to miss that. I do see that missed quite often. We're pretty good at catching that to make sure. If it's not on box 13 or 14 of your W-2, we normally ask questions. Some employers will not put that detail there. As you know, some W-2s don't have enough room. Some of the W-2s list everything going through, which is phenomenal. Lets us understand what all those adjustments are between federal taxable income and state taxable income. But if they're not, there's some questions to be asked, and there could be some large deductions being missed.
Boy, that's another reason maybe to print out a pay stub at the end of the year and provide that in your tax
records.
That might be a good idea.
Great
to start
idea.
Asking for that from now on. I know in Pennsylvania we have differences in Medicare wages and Pennsylvania wages, and Pennsylvania is now requiring us to kind of reconcile those. And we, as preparers, we don't always know what they are either, because the employers don't always put the differences on the W-2. So you have to ask for the pay stub. So that's good. So property tax deduction, medical expenses. What about some recovery of basis on some retirement accounts? Where might we see that as a deduction on New Jersey?
Yeah, there is definitely some oddball rules with New Jersey. And if you worked for the state of New Jersey and your pension is going to be coming from the state of New Jersey, the state will allow you to exclude the pension income you're receiving up until the amount of your basis, meaning your total contributions that you physically put into the plan. What I have seen over the years is that most times you can recover your entire amount of contributions in about 2.5 years. And New Jersey allows you to take that stance if you're going to recover them in 3 years or less. So where do you find that number? And let me tell you, it's not easy. New Jersey will put that number in one place, and you will see it on a letter that you get from New Jersey with your retirement package. And I've had folks have to look high and low for that letter so we understand what the basis is. Of course, we need to do the calculation. What is your pension payment per month? How much do you have in contributions? So you do the math. Okay, you're going to recover that in, you know, in 18 months, in 22 months, in 24 months. As long as it's less than 3 years, you can exclude all of those first, you know, whatever that may be, 2.5 years worth of payments from your New Jersey tax return, which could come in handy because if your spouse is working and not yet retired, that's going to exclude those monies where you could be in a higher tax bracket while there's other income to be had. So it does make sense to take a look at that and do the exclusion.
So that would be a New Jersey pension, you said. So typically someone who might have worked.
A police officer, a fireman, a teacher, something of that nature.
Okay.
So they're all worth looking into that and getting that documentation and tracking it for those first few years.
Are you seeing, first I'm going to say the phone number one more time, and then I want to talk if you've had any odd things this year in New Jersey income tax, and then we'll move into talking about the New Jersey estate tax, which I think with a little planning could save thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of taxes that people just don't have on their radar. Phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk, call in and ask questions live on air or off air. So Frank, we have about a month left of tax season, 3 weeks. Anything else in New Jersey that we need to have our radar up, or did we kind of cover?
Well, the only other thing I want to mention is the point that New Jersey does have a pension exclusion. So you can exclude up to, I believe, $20,000 worth of your pension if you're under $100,000.
Oh, and that's without it being like the recovery of basis.
Correct.
New Jersey pension we talked about. This is someone who might have a pension from their employer.
Pension or IRA distributions,
okay.
Anything that would fall in any variable annuity income, things of that nature,
okay,
would fall in that pension exclusion. If you do not use your full pension exclusion, you have the ability to use what we call the other income exclusion. So, for instance, if you had only an $8,000 pension and you had it excluded under this rule, $20,000 minus 8 leaves you 12. Now, you may be able to take a $12,000 exclusion on some of your other income. So it's worth going through the calculations and see if you qualify. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But if you're doing your tax return longhand, you may breeze right through that and not realize that you just missed some substantial exclusions.
Okay, so the software would take us through that extra exclusion.
They normally would. You know, they normally would.
I have to take a bunch of notes on this. Thanks, Frank. That's great. So, folks, heads up, alert, when we're talking about New Jersey or Pennsylvania cross-border working, or just in general, even if you're a New Jersey resident and maybe you're someone who's moved there from another state and you haven't taken the time to read all the little details of the instructions for filing the tax return. Some of the software, if you go online, might not walk you through that, or the free softwares might not walk you through that because it's complicated. So many people come from states, Frank, where they move. These are transient society. They might come from a state where the income for their state was based on the federal, and they don't realize that our states, Pennsylvania and New Jersey, are very particular and have some strange nuances. So we're going to move into talking about the New Jersey inheritance tax and estate tax. The inheritance tax is very easy if your estate's under $675,000 and everything's going to a spouse or to children. In New Jersey, the inheritance tax is based on your relationship. So if you're related as a spouse or children, it's zero. That's different than Pennsylvania. But what many people don't realize is that if your estate's over $675,000, even if you're related, as I said, as a spouse or child, there's something different called the New Jersey estate tax, E-S-T-A-T-E, estate, like a federal estate. This is a New Jersey estate tax that will apply. And I think that people get so comfortable in New Jersey thinking, well, everything's going to my spouse, everything's going to my children, it's all at zero. Or everything's going to my spouse, it's at zero, so I don't have to worry about this on the first to die. But Frank, tell us what's happening in New Jersey with estates, because this rule, this New Jersey estate tax, was established back in 2001, basically. It's based on the federal estate tax exemption in 2001. And what year are we in now?
I think it's 2016.
15 years have passed. So 2001, the federal estate exemption was $675,000. And some people didn't worry because it didn't apply to them. Fast forward 16 years, New Jersey still has the same laws and they haven't changed it. We have to file a 2001 federal estate tax, basically, to figure out what someone's estate is. So what are we looking at in New Jersey when we're talking about someone's estate?
It's not really hard to get over the $675,000 number. Your residence counts. You add your residence, and if you're in a, you know, in some of the areas of Jersey, it's not uncommon to have a home worth $400,000, $500,000, $700,000 or more. That may put you over the limit. Add to that all of your bank accounts, all of your retirement plans, your variable annuities. I believe your life insurance counts in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you may have a $1 million, $1.5 million to $2 million estate without even thinking twice about it. So that leaves the door open for some planning, obviously, but it obviously has to force you to file that New Jersey estate return. And I think we're looking at some numbers for 2014, and I was amazed that over 4,000 tax returns, estate tax returns were filed, and the state was collecting over $269 million. That's not a drop in a bucket. That's a lot of money.
And they're collecting more and more revenues. Their revenues, this was a presentation I had seen back in 2014. Their revenue was up, what,
19%? 19%. And that's incredible, which just simply means as folks are passing away, there's a lot more estate tax to be had, which leaves the door open to do some planning. But how do you do the right planning? And I think it starts with, first off, a lot of folks don't do what we call is to make a financial inventory. You know, you've got to make a list of all of your assets and who owns them, how the titling is, what their market value is, what's their cost basis. With all of that data in front of you, then you can actually start making some decisions as to what to do going forward. And I know I'm talking in your expertise, because usually when we get to a complicated estate, I will hand the ball off to Lori and let her take it, where I'll handle the income tax, but I will let Lori handle the estate
tax.
But
also doing the inventory, because doing right. that inventory is what alerts you to the issue.
Right.
So, folks, where this can be critical is when you have a husband and wife, and for federal, let's pretend for federal purposes, as long as everything is going to the spouse, there's an unlimited marital deduction. So your first feeling is, well, everything's going to spouse, it's zero. And that's true. But in Frank's number earlier, he just said, I think like $1.5 million. So if we have a husband and wife, the first spouse dies, $1.5 million estate together maybe, everything goes to the surviving spouse. So there wasn't a New Jersey estate tax because everything went to spouse. Now the spouse dies, she has $1.5 million estate. The exemption is $675,000. With proper planning, if the couple had done proper planning and set up a trust for the survivor to protect the $675,000 exemption that the first spouse had. And back in the day, we all understood this because it mattered for federal estate tax purposes. We've gotten so far from that because now we have a federal estate exemption, which is about $5.5 million. So many people don't have this on their radar anymore. But the state of New Jersey, it should be a state of emergency. Because with proper planning, you could at least protect $675,000 on the first to die. And then on the second today, in our example, if it was $1.5 million estate, $675,000 is in that first one. The second estate's only $800,000. With an exemption of $675,000, you're talking about estate tax on a very small part of that estate. This is complicated, and I know it's complicated, and I wish I could explain it a little bit easier. But hopefully what you'll understand from the conversation tonight is that in New Jersey, your estate, as a married couple, that's where we have the most planning opportunities. Single people have to pay attention to this as well. But the planning opportunities especially apply when we have a husband and wife, because they can set up a trust for the benefit of the survivor and protect that. And the thing is, if this happened 16 years ago and someone had set up a $675,000 trust, 16 years later, How much do you think that $675 would be worth, Frank?
Oh, it should have tripled by now.
Okay. So if it tripled and now my second spouse dies, that's all excluded. It's not in their estate.
Absolutely.
So, folks, this is something really important that we need to pay attention to. We need to talk about it. If you have questions, we still have plenty of time for income tax questions. You can talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and I have Frank Stettner, CPA CFP, in the studio with me this evening. We are talking about income taxes, income tax questions, taking your income tax questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. We've been talking at length about New Jersey income tax and some nuances there and some opportunities there. We've touched on New Jersey estate tax. I want to say just a little bit more about that. And then Frank and I are probably going to wrap up talking about some planning opportunities that still may be available for some people, even for 2015. So again, the for questions, 610-758-8810. I want to mention one other thing about this New Jersey estate tax. Here's where people get caught with their pants down and when they realize that there is something called the New Jersey estate tax. When maybe mom and dad have passed now and you have their home and, you know, everything's going to you as the son or the daughter, and you know the New Jersey, the inheritance tax is zero, and you go to sell mom and dad's house and it's worth $800,000 and the realtor won't give you all the money. They escrow the money because you have to prove that you filed a New Jersey estate tax return. New Jersey is very diligent about freezing assets and taking escrow on expected New Jersey estate taxes. So, for example, you might go to the bank and the bank is going to say, do you have a waiver in New Jersey? Do you have a waiver that this account is going to be free of estate tax? And there's different waivers that people can file if the estate's under 675. And you have to sign off. To get that waiver, you have to sign something saying, yes, this estate is under 675. If the estate's over 675, you're going to be in violation if you're checking the box that it's under 675. Because once it's over 675, New Jersey, without a waiver, New Jersey banks, New Jersey stock companies, they're going to freeze half the assets until you have a waiver. You don't get those waivers until you, in the case of a New Jersey estate tax, until you file for a request for an early waiver or you file the New Jersey estate tax return, and that's when they give you the waivers.
One other thing I wanted to bring up, and I do see this from time to time, you're selling your home in New Jersey and you're leaving New Jersey. Even if it was your principal residence, you and I know that that is not a taxable transaction in more cases than not. However, the closing agents and many attorneys are forced to withhold on your gross sale on your New Jersey home. So if you're leaving Jersey and you're moving to South Carolina, you're moving to Pennsylvania, they will withhold an income tax payment and send it to the state of New Jersey if they cannot verify that you are buying another home as a residence in New Jersey. The only place that is recorded is on the closing statement. So we need to get the closing statement from either the closing agent or the attorney to verify that the money was in fact withheld and sent to New Jersey. You do not get a withholding slip. You do not get anything in January like you would get a 1099 or something of that nature showing that withholding. I don't know how many times that's been missed. I know we normally always ask for that closing statement. Unfortunately, if someone leaves the state and goes find another accountant down south, that money may just be staying in the state kitty if they didn't realize they need to look at that HUD statement, that settlement sheet, whatever you call it, to verify that state withholding was sent in.
So what if you can show that there wasn't a gain? Would they still withhold?
A lot of times when I've talked to attorneys and closing agents, the first thing out of their mouth is, I am not a tax expert. I am not taking the onus of this on my shoulders. Uh-huh. I'm withholding it and they'll get it back. I've seen it already where a home was sold in January, February. Of course, now they need to wait until the following tax season to file to get that refund back. So it's just something else to keep in the back of your mind as if you decide to sell your home and leave the state.
That's crazy, but it's also a great point about mentioning the settlement sheet, because there's a lot of information on a settlement sheet as far as tax deductions as well, because sometimes you're going to see where taxes were refunded at settlement, and sometimes you're going to see where taxes were paid extra at settlement. Sometimes it's on the back page, it's page two, and sometimes it's on page one. So you want to make sure that you're looking at that as well. Let's talk about some other kind of let me tell the phone number. We still have time. 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810, on air or off air. What kind of planning opportunities do we still have for 2015 when we're in 2016? We don't often have planning opportunities, but might there still be some for some people?
Yeah, there definitely are. Normally the IRS will focus on a cash basis for the taxpayer, and everything has to be paid out during the fiscal year, during the calendar year. But after the year, of course, we can still have opportunities to plug some money into a deductible IRA or a Roth IRA if you do prefer just to shelter it, because you cannot get the deductible IRA because of your adjusted gross income limits. But if you're not having a pension plan at work and you fall into this category, then it's well worth it to put in that $6,500 per year for you and your spouse.
If you're over 50,
over 50, right. Yeah. I guess I'm getting older, so I keep thinking that's gonna apply to me. But it is a good way to save that $6,500 times two. So between you and your spouse, that could be a nice sizable $13,000 deduction on the front page of the tax return. So it's an adjustment to get to AGI, which then some other items may flow a little bit better if you lower your AGI. So the tax return has a lot of moving parts to it. There's a lot of numbers that depend on another number. And a lot of calculations depend on that AGI, which is the number at the bottom of your front page. So if you could find ways to lower your AGI, some other things may flow through, some other deductions or college credits, or you never know. There's a lot of other items that depend on that bottom page of that front return. So
and there's different limitations too. If one spouse is working, and the other one isn't, so if both spouses are working, then to be able to do a deductible IRA, the AGI is, you know, a certain amount. If only one spouse is working, it's a higher AGI. So just because maybe in the past, if both were working, you may not have both been able to do it. Now, if one's not working, you can do some of these deductible IRAs. And if you're working and making below a certain amount, you could both do it as well. I just had a case where there was a student who was working and made like $12,000 and living at home, has money, he could fund a Roth IRA. He doesn't need the income tax deduction because he's like in the zero tax bracket practically. But he could do a Roth IRA. So we want to let our kids know that that's always an opportunity as well.
Sure.
For folks who might have a business, can they put money into some retirement accounts, and what's available to them after
Absolutely.
Year
end? The standard retirement account for a self-employed person or a business is a SEP. They're very easy. There's very little record keeping to be done, and it does allow a sizable contribution to go in, you know, between 20% and 25%. And, you know, if you're making $100,000, that's a sizable amount going into the SEP. So it is definitely worthwhile to examine the SEP. But if you do have a SEP, you got to remember you got to cover your employees if they qualify.
If you have employees.
If you have employees and you're going to use a SEP because you do want to maximize your deduction, you do not want to settle for just the IRA deduction of $5,500 or $6,500, you need to cover your employees. And normally that's anyone working, more than 3 years and earning more than $5,000 a year for a couple of years. So you got to make sure that you're covering those folks, but that will get you a pretty sizable tax deduction.
And the SEP you can set up until the extension due date.
Correct.
That's the beauty of those. So that's planning that you may not have thought about. If you're someone who, sometimes what happens is, you know, your client comes in, they tell you they started a business, you didn't know it, it really took off and they ended up with $60,000 of income and they have no deductions, no offsets, and all of a sudden, oh shoot, now I owe all this money because they're going to have income tax and self-employment tax. So a SEP is something that they can still set up and by the extension due date and
right.
fund.
And it's discretionary, anywhere from 0% up to 25%. So it is discretionary. You can say, I don't want to maximize it, but I'll do a 10%. And as long as it flows through and it works for all the employees the same way, they're all going to get their 10%, and hence you will too.
So if I also want to mention, this isn't something, a planning tip for after the fact, because if you are self-employed and you want even a bigger deduction and maybe a little bit more control, although it is more record keeping, you can set up an individual 401k if you're self-employed and maybe it's just you or you and your spouse, not with employees. So the solo 401k, individual 401k, that's something you have to set up before year end.
Mm-hmm.
So for 2015, if you didn't already have that, it's too late to do that. That's when you would have to do the SEP. But if you are setting up a new business this year, it might be something you want to look at. And the wonderful thing about 401ks like the SEP, you have until the extension due date to fund it. So sometimes it takes a while for businesses to get going. Maybe it's really taking off, but you didn't have enough money in the bank to fund a 401k. Well, maybe in 6 months you will.
Right.
So that's something to do.
Right. And I think the due date, and I use a lot of plans, and one of them is called the 401k Safe Harbor. It's a very lucrative plan. It allows some fairly high-end contributions. And just as a round number, I think we looked at one, and the earnings were around $215,000, and they were able to punch away over $63,000 to $64,000 into a plan for the year. But the plan has to be set up and partially funded, which means you can deposit $100 into the plan. But I believe it's October 31st, I'm not sure, but it's the fall.
Oh.
I don't know if it got moved to December or not, but I know it used to be October 31st. So
that's
definitely something that if you're thinking about, because the business is doing so well that you want to punch as much money into this thing as possible, it's worth taking a look at that. But do it in the summertime. Do it early fall. Do not wait.
Right. Okay. That's good advice. Frank, we just have a couple minutes left. Anything else that you'd like to share about New Jersey in particular, since we are now broadcasting to all the corners of the Lehigh Valley, including the New Jersey area where you are?
I don't know. I think we covered pretty much all the bases. I mean, keep track of your medical. Make sure you keep track of your property taxes and or your rent. Be aware of the pension exclusions. Be aware of the other income exclusions. Like I said, New Jersey's return is pretty busy. It is very busy, so it's good to have all of your ducks in a row when you look at that New Jersey return, and just keep track of those deductions, and it'll pan out.
And then for New Jersey estate taxes or New Jersey estate planning, for residents of New Jersey, they should be making an inventory?
I would do the inventory, and I would update that every year. It's not that hard. Once you throw it into a spreadsheet or get it into some manual form, if you prefer that, then just keep that thing updated every year so you kind of see where your values are and you kind of know whether you're approaching that magic number 675 or not. And if you are, it's worth making a few calls and seeing if it's worthwhile to do some planning.
Well, and you definitely want to have your documents in order anyway, folks. You should have a will, power of attorney, healthcare directives, living will, and things of that nature. And I will mention, because we kind of went over like the life insurance, that might throw some people off. Life insurance typically isn't included for like inheritance tax purposes for Pennsylvania or New Jersey, but for estate tax purposes, because the federal government includes life insurance that's owned by you, not if it's not owned by you, it's not included. But if it's owned by you, for federal purposes, they include it. And remember, New Jersey is piggybacking off the federal return. So we have to include life insurance. We have to also include joint accounts in full unless you can prove contribution. So if mom and dad have a joint account, you think you're not going to include it, it has to be included. Again, certain assets going directly to spouses may qualify for that marital deduction. So it's going to require a little planning. You want to make sure you're doing that and doing everything right. So see an attorney or a financial advisor to get started on your New Jersey estate planning. And for the folks in Pennsylvania, you should do estate planning too. We should all do it. I want to thank Frank Stettner for being here. Frank, how do people reach you?
Oh, my my number is easy to remember. It's 908-454-1000.
908-454-1000. Frank, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, next week I'm going to have Rod Young, CPA CFP, on, and we are going to talk about some unusual tax situations. So I look forward to having Rod here. I want to thank Frank, thank Neil, thank Judy Ann all for being here. Thank you, listeners, for calling in with your questions. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.
This is WDIY Allentown. Stay tuned. Coming up, NPR headline news, and then that's followed by In the Tradition with your host, Tom Druckenmiller.